John Northrup is a dear friend. I met his father in 1980. I was thinking, I was standing here next to John worshiping, and I remember standing next to his father in 1980, and you would have been, I don't even know if you were born in 1980, but you'd have been a teenager in that range. And his father, Paul, who many of you knew, did plant the churches, a church, Buenos Nuevas, in Sancti Spiritus, Cuba. It's an amazing story. And I had the privilege of going with his father in 1993 to Cuba. And when we were there, we bought all of our gasoline with soap. We bought our food with soap. It was a very difficult time. And then I got to go again in 2003 with John and his whole family for the 50th anniversary of their of what they've done. They are, and John and GRM are uniquely situated with Cuba. So many times John goes there, I don't know how many times a year, he'll tell you when he gets up here, but it's we have a very unique connection. How many of you remember Pastor Tan from many years ago? He came, he was an ophthalmologist, and then we had Juan Carlos, who is the director of the mission. So, Ethan, let's go ahead and run that video, and then I'm going to have John just come up, okay?
Any good trip to Cuba begins in Havana, and for about $30, you can see the city in style. Enjoying the view from a classic American car like this 1957 Ford Fairlane convertible. The old American cars here are impressive. But let's get out of the big city and drive a few hours down the island where we can enjoy a nice Cuban espresso next to this sleepy plaza. Remedios is one of my favorite Cuban towns, and they've recently painted the buildings in bright colors to celebrate its 500th anniversary. I think it's safe to say that you would really enjoy a trip to Cuba. After all, what's not to like, right? Well, the reality for Cubans is a little bit different. The economy is a challenge, to say the least, and they have to hustle 365, 24/7. There's a shortage of everything. Finding basic food like eggs can be a huge problem. And that goes for soap, toothpaste, chicken, beans, rice, coffee, you name it. Sure, all these items are available at the hard currency stores, but only a Havana taxi driver can afford those prices. Most Cubans try to make ends meet on about $20 a month. They have a saying here, maybe you've heard it before, no es fácil, it's not easy. I've visited the Buenas Nuevas, or Good News churches here, almost every year now for 30 years. This church in Sancti Spiritus is the first one my parents started back in 1953. Today, our goal is to help and encourage these believers in Cuba. They put up with a lot more than just economic pressures. While the Cuban government hasn't overtly persecuted the church here since the 1990s, it does try to keep the churches on a short leash. But the Buenas Nuevas churches keep growing, and we now have over 140 congregations throughout Cuba. Those are registered churches with pastors. There are more than 300 house churches that don't yet have their own building. There's a lot happening between our two countries. Cuba has been in the news constantly, but no one really knows how this will all turn out. The pressures on the Cuban people have created a real spiritual crisis, and people are responding to the gospel. God is moving in Cuba, and the church is multiplying. Cubans are positive about the future, but not positive enough to stay and wait for it. Many thousands are trying right now to reach a better life in the U.S. This is a critical moment in history for that nation. Please pray for the Cuban people and pray for Cuba. Ask God to use all of this for His glory and for Christ to be lifted up as the only hope for the people of Cuba. And pray for the believers there who are faithfully sharing this one true hope for Cuba and the world. Ask the Father to encourage their hearts with the promise that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Thank you for all you do to sustain this kingdom connection through gospel relief missions to our growing family in Cuba and Mexico.
Well, good morning. Man, it's so good to be back with you all, really. Thank you for embracing me. You know, I've been kind of your long-lost brother for all these years, because Kevin has been more than a big brother to me and more than a pastor to me. He's really been a mentor to me. And I'm here in large part because of the way God has ministered to my life through your pastor. And I love the chances that I get to be with you. I feel so at home here. You have always embraced me, and I look forward to the years God has ahead for us. I want to get to know you all better, I really want to deepen this relationship that God has given us, and I just want to let you know how much we love you, how much we thank the Lord for this church. You know, you all might feel small sometimes, but God is using you to do great, great, great things. You, church, have a part in what God is doing in Cuba. You have been a part since 1980 of what God's doing. And just in the last year, we've grown from around, as you just saw there, we've got now 140 churches. God is just moving in amazing ways. These churches are growing, so good things are happening. And this morning, I want to talk to you about Cuba a little bit, but I also feel that the Lord has given me a message for you. Because things are moving and things are shaking, and I mean, even right here, you guys are literally tearing it up. You guys are amazing. But I really feel like I don't want to miss what God has. I don't want to get in the way. So would you take a moment and pray with me that the Lord would speak to us? Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for all that you're doing. Thank you that your arm is not too short to save. Thank you that no matter what burdens we have here this morning, what concerns we have, and some of them are serious, we can come for this hour and be in your presence and be encouraged by your word. Lord, bless your word today. Please don't let your servant get in the way of what you want to say to us today. Open your word to us and minister to our spirits. In Jesus' name. We ask. Amen. Amen. Well, as you saw in the video, there's, you know, a lot going on. There's a lot of moving parts happening. It's in the news. It's been in the news a lot. It's crazy. It seems like every time you open the newspaper, Cuba's in there, right? I mean, it has been the case for us every time we, now, you know, if you open a, I was traveling out here and there was I forget what store it was, like, you know, one of these department store chains, and like front covers, you know, Cuba. I'm like, in a department store magazine? Well, yeah, so their men's department clothes, they went all the way to Havana to model, you know, in these old buildings. So it's now really cool and fashionable to go to Cuba. You know, it's just like, it makes, if you've been there over these years, it makes you kind of scratch your head, right, Kevin? I mean, you were there in 93, very difficult time. Very, very, probably one of the most difficult times we have ever seen. In Spanish, they called it el periodo especial. How's that for double speak? The special period. El periodo especial. That comes like right out of Orwell. If any of you have read those interesting books by George Orwell from when the Soviet Union was rising right after World War II, and there was this big scare that communism was going to take over the world. And so don't want to digress into that, but that time when Kevin, when you visited Cuba the first time, you saw real, real poverty and struggle with the Cuban people. God has been gracious. God, just like he provides your needs, he's been providing the needs of the Cuban people, and things are better. But it remains a communist country. And the embargo, I don't know if you've ever heard, you all have ever heard that term, the embargo. It's a political response that the United States had to Cuba in 1960, 1961, when Fidel Castro was successful in his revolution to overthrow the government that was in place in Cuba and install his own. And at that time, he came out as a Marxist, a communist, and up until that point, he had just he had just been happy to lead people to believe that he was a liberator and that he was going to bring free and fair elections. But then when he got power, he revealed himself to be a totalitarian. And so as a response then, the United States government put in place this thing called an embargo, a policy that basically tried to keep all goods and services going into Cuba. And it's been in place all these years. We could argue about whether or not it's been successful or not, whether it's effective or not. I'm not here to offer any opinion on it. But the reality has been it has made life very, very, very difficult for the average Cuban person. And so that's why it would be hard enough to make it on $20 a month or less. Some of them only get $10 a month. But when there's already a scarcity of things, it makes it even harder. So that photo you saw of the lady's hands holding the two pieces of bread and she had a little booklet under her hand, that is the ration book. They actually are still on ration systems. That's the only way that you could live on $10 a month. The government's going to have to provide something. And so they get a certain number of beans and a certain measure of rice and a certain measure of bread and like a quarter piece of chicken. You know, it's ridiculous. Nobody could really live on these things. But it's a mirage, right? It's something to hold up in front of the people that the government is going to provide their needs. So in the middle of all those terrible needs, in the middle of those impossible odds, God is being faithful. God is providing for his church, and the churches are growing. So can I get an amen on that?
Amen.
God is good. Amen. Give God a hand for that one. But nobody really knows what's going to happen. This embargo is still in place. We've opened our embassy. The U.S. has opened our embassy in Cuba. And things are growing closer. For the first time in almost 100 years, a U.S. president is going to visit Cuba this month. And the Cuban people are thrilled about this. You can imagine. For them, it's like they've been in prison all these years. They've been forgotten. So to have all this attention and to have all this hope is tremendous. But if you've been around the block that we call life a little bit, you realize that that can also be a setup. Expectations and hope can really set you up for terrible disappointment when it doesn't pay off. And that's not limited to Cuba. We live with that too. And we have to learn to be careful to manage our expectations because we can get ourselves really, really hurt when things don't turn out the way that we want them to. Am I the only one that's ever had that happen? Okay, all right. No, it's true. This life is, I love movies. I dreamed of being a movie maker when I was a kid. And part of what the Lord allows me to do in order to make these trips to Cuba and to be able to pay the bills and keep the family fed. And by the way, let me just say thank you, church, so much for your financial support. Thank you. It matters. Every penny matters. And we are so grateful to the Lord for that. Thank you for that. You all have been so, so, so faithful and generous. We are so humbled. Thank you. So the Lord allows me to make videos for other ministries. And one of those other ministries is the Billy Graham Organization. And they are kind of a well-known ministry. It's been around for a little while. Maybe not as well-known as GRM, but they're great people, and it's been a real blessing to be able to work with them. I'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. Getting back to this idea of hopes and what can we be certain of, and it looks like things are going to change, and we hope that they're going to change, but really, what can this world be certain of? You know, we live in a world where things are moving and shaking all the time, right? Even your parking lot is shaking. And in more serious matters, they just finished cleaning up. I heard in the news this week, they're just cleaning up the Fukushima meltdown in Japan. They feel like they finally have been able to rake all the topsoil that would be radioactive. They've finally gotten that ready. And closer to home, up here a little bit where the gas leak happened, now that we can trust them, the Southern California Gas Company promises us that that's safe. You know, there's always things happening, difficult things happening, things that weren't planned, things that shake our lives. Makes me think of that famous theologian who said there's a whole lot of shaking going on. It was Jerry Lee Lewis, right? But I'm here this morning to tell you that God wants you to be established. It's kind of an old English word. God wants you to be established, unmoved, unfazed, certain. What does he want you to be certain about? Let's get into the word and start in John chapter 16, verse 33. And in John 16, 33, it says, "These things I have spoken to you, so that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take courage, I have overcome the world." That's kind of a good news, bad news verse, if you break it down. The Lord Jesus has been with his disciples in the last hours of his life on earth, and he's been unloading just all kinds of really difficult stuff to digest. We won't take the time to get into it, but I encourage you to go in there and spend some time in John chapter 16. And so these guys are a little bit rocked, but he's telling them, in spite of the suffering that you're going to go through, in spite of these things, in spite of the fact that I'm going to leave you, because just a few verses back he says, I'm going to go. He's kind of saying some confusing language. I'm going to go to the Father for a little while, and then after a little while, I'm going to come back. And he keeps talking about this little while, and the disciples are like, what is he talking about? He's talking about perspective, I think. He's saying, I want you to know what you can be certain of, because you're going to get rocked. This world is going to get rocked. We, in case you didn't notice, we're living in a world that there's a whole lot of shaking going on all the time. We don't like change, but what is constant? Change. And yet, it rocks us, does it not? It does. And we are in our physical man, although you guys look great. But for some of us, our best days are behind. Actually, look at the person next to you and say, if it wasn't for you, go ahead. If it wasn't for you, I'd be the best looking person here today. But God wants us to be established. He doesn't want you to fear. He doesn't want you to lose your mind in the middle of your suffering. And that's a real struggle, I know, for us in this world. In Cuba, they've had the blessing of having persecution. Why would I say such a thing? Why would persecution be a blessing? I'll tell you why. Because the church grows strong when it's persecuted. Because the playing field could not be clearer, more clearly marked. When you make a choice to follow Christ, you know you're making a choice to suffer in this life and give things up in this life. Here, where we live, we've got a lot of freedom that's been paid for by generations that have gone before. Thank the Lord for that. But we can really get kind of lost in the here and now. And I am one of those knuckleheads who got lost in the here and now and really thought this life was what it was all about until the Lord patiently got a hold of me and has been working in me and continues to work in me. And we are going somewhere. Does anybody know the term traveling shmoo, wandering shmoo? No? No? Okay. Forget it then. I won't go there. Actually, I knew it before North Carolina. I don't know. I heard of it. You're all wanderers. This song about wanderers. Not in the bad way in that we're wandering away from God, but this is not your home. In case anybody hasn't told you, you're just here for a part time, a while, a little while. Might feel like forever, but you have made a choice. If you have chosen to follow Christ, if you have surrendered your life to Christ, you no longer live, but he lives in you. He is your Lord. You belong to him. So he's got you on a journey. He's got a purpose and a plan and a destiny for you. And it is a good one. We know it's a good one. But it's going to be a little rocky before here and home. Eternity is phenomenal. I know I don't have any words to describe it. It's going to be amazing. We will see then face to face. We will be in God's presence. There won't be a separation. We won't be sick. Our hearts won't be broken. We won't be lonely. We will be fully, fully known. And we will fully know Him. You know, have you ever heard people say, I've got some questions for God when I get to heaven? Think about that for just a split second. You won't have any questions for God. You will fully know. It'll be like, duh. Oh my. And there is suffering. We could probably spend all morning talking about suffering and sharing the things we've gone through. It's a road that is difficult and painful. I'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. And thank God that we can laugh about it. Thank God that we can have joy. Because let me tell you, if you aren't certain of this, let me tell you that in the suffering, it's possible to have joy. It is possible. That's the difference that Christ makes. Everybody in this world, no matter how good they look, are going to suffer. That's what this world is. Sooner or later, I'm sorry to be the guy that comes and gives you this message. I would love to give you a message of prosperity, but that's not the Bible I read. I'm sorry. God wants you to be blessed, and there is blessing in this life. Don't get me wrong. But there's also a price you're called to pay as you follow Christ. But there's purpose and reason. It's not without reason. You know, a lot of people suffer for no good reason. What a terrible thing. Or they suffer for bad mistakes without any redemption, you know. There's no redeeming value in going through suffering just because you made a dumb mistake. But we aren't talking about that. We're talking about suffering for the cause of Christ, the only Son of God. God who became flesh, who walked with us, who knew what it was like to suffer like we suffer, who loved us so much that he couldn't bear to see us lost. So he made a way for us out of this mess. And now we get the privilege of telling other people about it. That's what we're suffering for. There's a reason and a purpose and a joy in that. You can pay when it's worth it, right? When you feel good about something, it's a good value. Man, you feel great. You want to tell everybody, I got a deal on this thing. Well, let me tell you, we got a deal on eternity. We got like the best deal ever. Right? It's like the farmer, if you guys heard the story, and forgive me if I repeat stories, but I don't come so often that, so if you heard it, just pretend you forgot it. So there's the farmer who had the chicken and the pig, and he wanted to have breakfast, and he wanted bacon and eggs. And the chicken was, you know, encouraging the pig. Said, we can do this. The pig says, yeah, it's pretty easy for you. For me, it's a total sacrifice. That's what the Christian life is. Took a little while, right? Got to cure that pig, too. It takes a little while. You can't just, like, have the bacon right away, either. Moving on. Let's go to Matthew 6, verse 34. Matthew 6, 34 says, so do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. That's where we can all say amen. I want to go. I'm carrying one of my dad's older Bibles. It's Old King James. And I was drawn to, you know, when I was thinking about Lord, and I was praying, Lord, what do you want to minister to us? And I got to tell you, this is where it all started. It started in this, and I'm so glad we sang that old hymn with that old language. It just means so much. And I'm a young guy that I was raised in missionary school. I grew up in Puebla, Mexico, down in central Mexico. And I come from the same stream as your pastor does, a little bit more of a charismatic Pentecostal background, but I was raised by Southern Baptists, and they would actually make an example of me in Bible class and say that, you know, our family, you know, Johnny's family, actually they don't know it, but they're serving the devil because they speak in tongues. Seriously, I'm not joking. So thank you for that, by the way. Somebody over there was really sweet. I appreciate that. It was painful. But they would teach us and make us memorize verses in the King James. So I had to come around and really learn to revalue the King James, you know. It was tied with my baggage. But I love the language in this King James. It says, "Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." What an amazing, and that is inspired. Sufficient to the day is the evil thereof. Could you hold that verse back up on the screen for me, Ethan? Thank you. We are going to have trouble. But remember what it said back in the previous verse. Take heart. Be of good cheer. Take courage. Courage comes from the French word cœur for heart. Grab a hold of your heart and make sure it's in the... Jesus is saying that to his disciples. Probably in Aramaic, probably not French. But he's saying, take courage. Get a hold of your heart. Don't let your heart melt. Listen to what I'm saying to you. It's just a little while. And I know you don't have the perspective to see it. He even says that in John 16. He says, all right, now I'm talking to you like in a proverb and you don't get it. I know that. And there's so much more I want to tell you, but you're going to be okay. And that's what God wants to tell you today. You're going to be okay. You're going to be okay. You're not without hope. Things look pretty dark. And things look pretty dark for the Cubans. But you're going to be okay because you're not alone. You are not abandoned. God is with you. Everybody say, God is with me. Do you believe it? Yes. All right, then say it again like you believe it. God is with me.
God is with me.
Okay, I believe you now. And he is with you. He is with you. Let's go to, I know I'm hopping around a little bit here. But before we hop to the next verse, let's finish this where we are here with this verse. It's okay to confess that you're anxious. We all suffer anxiety. But God is telling us something here. Don't worry about tomorrow. Be focused on today. Today is what we have. Today is what God has given us. There's a lot to worry about tomorrow. Man, just stop and think, right? You don't want to think about it yet. Tomorrow's Monday, think about it then. Today's Sunday, don't think about it. We want to rest today. So let's focus on the rest. And the rest is, you don't have to worry. Because God is there. Did God meet you yesterday? Did he meet you last year? Did he get you through the last horrible tragedy you went through? Has anybody here ever seen or lived a situation where God was unfaithful? No? No. Because he isn't unfaithful. He's faithful. God is faithful. He cannot be unfaithful. You're going to get through this. You will get through this. When I was a kid, going back to, I don't know why I'm dealing with my childhood stuff this morning so much. But Sunday afternoons were terrible. Really, it was back to school. I would, no joke, I would pray on Sunday afternoons, Lord Jesus, please come back. Please, before tomorrow, please. You know, even children want to be delivered from their situation. Even a child can get a hold of this. Maranatha, Lord Jesus, come quickly. He is coming quickly. It's just a little while. It's just a little while. And then we'll have all eternity. All right, let's go to the part that's going to be, now we got to dig in here. Let's go to Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. I never in my life thought that I would ever preach out of Revelation. You have got to be crazy to preach out of Revelation. You do. You have to be insane or incredibly inspired. I hope that I'm inspired. This is a complex book, so I'm only gonna go after one verse. Do not fear what you're about to suffer. Catch that? You're about to suffer. That's the bad news part, sorry, but it's actually good news. Following Christ, we've already settled and determined and embraced, okay, but it's gonna be for a little while. No one gets off. And if anybody ever comes and preaches to you that you don't have to suffer for the cause of Christ, please remember that I told you that's not the gospel. That's not the Bible. You don't get righteousness by suffering. You don't sign up for suffering. Please hear me on this. You don't become a better person because you have suffered, but you will be, how do you say this? Lord, help me say this. Don't spend your life trying to avoid suffering. If God is with you and you are walking with Him and you are prayerfully going through each day and each situation and doing your best to apply what you have understood, God is ministering to your life, and you know that you are not blatantly breaking His laws or in some kind of sin. Remember, we already defined what happens when you pay the consequences of your own foolish choices. But if you are following Christ with all of your heart and you come across a time where you are suffering, please remember this. God is with you. He didn't destine you for suffering. He will bring you through it, and He has a purpose in it. Amen? Do not fear what you're about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison, so that you will be tested and you will have tribulation for 10 days. That's the part, you know, when Revelation gets like that, that's when I go, come on, what are we talking about? Don't get cold on me, because I struggle with that. But God is faithful. I believe God has given me an insight into what that is. We'll get into it in just a second. It's pretty exciting. So you're going to be tested. You'll have suffering. Be faithful. Be faithful to the end, and I'll give you the crown of life. Your destiny, Christian, your destiny, Jesus follower, your destiny, my brother, my sister, is the crown of life. Your destiny is life. You are destined for life. That's awesome. That would be a great time to say amen. It's good. There is goodness there. All right, so let's deal with this enigma in the middle of this verse. 10 days. What is that all about? So here's where a little bit of study and people around you who've walked with the Lord and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit can kind of turn on some light bulbs. And I think, from what I've read, what the writer is referring to is when Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when those four guys were in captivity all those years in Babylon, do any of you remember the story when they asked the king to test them with their diet? Do you know what the period was, he said? Test us for 10 days. So now, if we step back and realize this verse comes at a time in Revelation where there's the letters to the seven churches, and John the writer is working through all of this visual language and setting up what he's God has given him this tremendous word in Revelation to share it in a certain way, and he's talking to people who know the word, talking to people who come from the same culture of having walked with the Lord and heard from the Apostle Paul, and they've been raised up and rooted in the word. So when they say things like this, it's not foreign to them. They know immediately he's referring to Daniel. And it's very effective, because it's not just the 10 days they were tested for food, it's the three of them who went into the fiery furnace, and it's Daniel who spent his entire life in captivity and was in a pit with a lion breathing down his neck when he was an old man. Pastor? okay, God was with Daniel. His whole life he was tested. But it was a short time. Where's Daniel now? He's rejoicing in heaven. He's been up there a long time. And we will get to join him. And we won't have any questions for him, I guarantee you. We'll know him too. But what an awesome thing. It is a life of suffering, but it's a life of victory. In your bulletin today, what a beautiful, beautiful verse to put in the bulletin today at the beginning. It was such a great confirmation when I picked it up on the way in. And Ethan, do you happen to have that up there? Because which one is it? Let's just look at that real quick. Ephesians 1, 18 through 21. While you're getting that, let me just tell you about what the Lord has for me this year. And we'll get to that in just a second. But I want to be sent on something. I want to be commissioned on something that the Lord has asked me to do this year. And I believe that one of the reasons I am here with you, church, this morning is because If you're up for it, I would love for this church to commission me for what God has put before me this year. And I'll tell you what it is. The Billy Graham Organization is partnering with the Russian Orthodox Church to put on a world conference on persecution. It will happen in Moscow, God willing, at the end of October. There will be over 1,000 delegates from over 150 countries. And they've asked me to produce 4 short films to show to those 1,000 delegates on persecution. 2 days ago, I was speaking with a person who was telling me about a brother in Sudan, South Sudan. And it seems like we've made a decision to go tell his story. So I will be going to South Sudan again. And I will be meeting a brother whose name is Bashir, a church planter who planted 23 churches, who was serving the Lord in Khartoum in North Sudan, which is a Muslim country. He was jailed for being a follower of Christ, for planting churches, for doing things that they considered to be against Islam. And the Arabic lettering on the door of the jail where he went in said, "Welcome to hell, no one here gets out alive." It's a long story, a lot of suffering. The Lord miraculously, like Paul, got him released from prison. But when they told him, when they released him, they said, "If you're not out of the country in 48 hours, you will never get out of here again." He was really badly beat up. When he arrived at his friend's home, they shut the door on him because they didn't recognize him. His head was twice as big as normal. That's how much he had been hit in the head. It's amazing that he was even conscious. He should be dead. 2 other Christian brothers were shot and killed right in front of him. I could go on. It's terrible. It's unspeakable things that this brother saw. He was deeply shaken. But God has given him strength. And he is victorious. And when we asked him, "Are you sure you want your story told? Will that not bring you more persecution?" He said, "It doesn't matter. I've been through the worst. If God wants me, if my story can encourage other believers, if God can use it, I will tell it." So, this is all happening very quickly in the last couple weeks. As I've been traveling out here, that's been confirmed. I am overwhelmed. I am shaken. I have been, I've had some projects in my life that have caused me to pray. I mean, this one is just, are you kidding me? I've known persecution. I've known brothers in Cuba who have suffered and been jailed. I have heard and read about stories like this. I have never personally had to get down on the level of producing a story like this. And that's just the first one. There will be 3 others. So I don't know that I'm up to it. I can confess, I know I'm not up to it. But who is up to it? The Lord is up to it. And if he's in it, it'll be amazing. It will be amazing, and he will encourage his church. Do you know that last year, 2015, there was more recorded cases of Christian persecution than in any other year in recorded history. We have brothers and sisters around the world who are paying with their life for the gospel. We do. We should be praying for them. When you're going through a bad day, ask the Lord to bless someone who's suffering in prison. Ask the Lord to bless someone who's had their loved ones torn from them. Ask the Lord to bless someone who's had their house burned down. Ask the Lord to bless someone who's lost everything for the cause of Christ in this life. And you'll see that your life will be blessed. Your perspective will change. We've got to focus our energies on eternity. Due to time, I'm not going to get back into that verse. You already have it in your bulletin. So let me cut to the chase and leave some time for your pastor to pray with me too. And I would encourage you, I would love for you all, if you're willing, to send me on this project this year. I would love to be sent from this church. It's about eternity. There's hope and joy and overcoming strength. I have overcome the world. Take heart. Don't focus on these difficult things you're going through. I have overcome. We got to get that perspective. Get a hold of that perspective. Share it with each other when you're together. We are a people with a destiny. You have a destiny. You have a home. It's not here. Amen? So let's not get distracted. There's so many things that can distract us. You know, when we're doing well financially, that's when we get distracted. When we're not doing well financially, or when we're going through sickness, that's when we're tempted to be doubtful. So don't be distracted by what God has blessed you with, but don't doubt God if you're in the middle of the battle and you don't see the light of day yet. Stay focused. Confess what you know is true. Encourage one another. And finally, we'll finish with this. Psalm 55, verse 22. It says, cast your burden, cast your care on the Lord. He will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken. Remember, we started with everything's shaking. He will not allow you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken. That is an awesome promise. He didn't say, he's not, there's no vacillation here. There's no uncertain language here. He's saying, I will never allow you to be shaken. The righteous. Are you righteous? What does it mean to be righteous? The blood of Christ covers you. Are you in Christ? Then you're righteous. Are you in Christ? You will not be shaken. That's where you say hallelujah. I mean, that's where you get excited and say, thank you, God. We won't be shaken. Amen? So before your pastor comes and prays for me, I'm going to pray for you. Is that all right? All right. Please stand with me. Father God, thank you for this promise that you've given us. Lord God, thank you for helping us tackle this difficult word. Thank you that we can talk about suffering with hope. Thank you, Lord God, that we can hear these words from you that tell us to take courage and be of good cheer. Because you have overcome the world. And if you have overcome the world and we are in you, then we are overcomers. So, Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters. I pray for your church here today. God, I intercede for them right now. There's burdens and cares and real suffering here. There are real desperate needs here. And we lift them up to you. You're the only one that could do anything about what we're facing. And as we lift these up, and as my brothers and sisters put their trust in you again, God bless them and fill them with hope and joy, overcoming joy. I pray that this congregation, as they move further into this year, would encounter you where the rubber meets the road in the difficult places, in the valleys and the rocky paths, as my brother Bill said, and I pray that you will meet them with surprising joy. Let your joy rise up in this people. Where hope has died, God, raise hope up again. Where doubt has crept in, where despondency has crept in, God, bring life, the crown of life. Bring
Thank
it
you,
in
Lord.
And raise them up, Lord God.
Thank you, Lord.
And let them rejoice because they are a people of destiny, because they belong to you, because you said, I will never let them be shaken. Lord, let these words penetrate our hearts and our minds. Give us a fresh perspective. We don't belong here. We belong to you. So use us while we're here. We trust you. Forgive us for doubting. Forgive us for getting distracted. We trust you. We love you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for loving this church. I bless them in your name, Lord Jesus. I bless everyone here in your name. Thank you, God.
Amen. Thank you, John. Thank you, John. Amen. Okay. Get the elders up here real quick. I'm going to have John step down. And would everybody work their way towards the front? Because we're sending him, but all of us are sending him. As we're coming, John has also been to North Korea. He went there with Greta Van Susteren and Franklin Graham. He's been to the Ural Mountains in Morocco. He's been to some of the most difficult places in Latin America. I didn't tell you, he lives in North Carolina. Mm-hmm. Has a beautiful wife, Elizabeth, and two sons. The names?
Barron and Harrison.
Barrison, they're smart?
Very smart.
Very smart. Okay.
They take after their mother.
Come up. I want to put your hand on somebody's shoulder. And Mike. I want to make sure, Pat, we're all here. He's asked us to do something. I didn't know he was going to do this, but to send him, John, there's an inherent responsibility on us. So we don't take this lightly. The laying of hands is always impartation. So this church that you've been a nephew, your dad was an uncle, you're part of it. When you're here, it's your church. We love you. We esteem you. The word that you gave today was not Christian light. The word that you gave challenges all of us to recalibrate in our dedication to him. And it also causes us to recalibrate in our view of our own suffering and the things that we go through. Like, Patrick, since you've been on today, I'd like you to read Romans 8:18 through the end of that chapter, then we're going to pray for John.
For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that is to be revealed to us. Amen. For the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself also will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. And not only this, but also we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. For in hope we have been saved. But hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he already sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance, we wait eagerly for it. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. Mm-hmm. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words.
Hallelujah.
And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Mm-hmm. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good.
Hallelujah.
To those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose, for those whom he foreknew. He also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. And these whom he predestined, he also called. And these whom he called, he also justified. And these whom he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, Who is against us? He did not spare his own son, but delivered him over us all. How will he not also with him freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Jesus Christ is he who died, yes, rather, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Mm-hmm. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Yeah. Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Just as it is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him
Hallelujah.
Who loved us.
Amen.
Amen. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Thank you, God.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Lord, I thank you for John. Thank you for his life, his heritage. Lord, I thank you for the passion that you've put in him. Lord, I thank you how John, so many times, because of his temperament, Lord, and because of the fire in the belly, he goes for something and gets frustrated. And Lord, he always gets up. John always gets up and he presses on towards the mark, Lord. You've opened so many doors here in the Saddleback Valley, Lord, back in North Carolina, back with the Billy Graham Association and the news media. And now, Lord, you're letting him in, giving him an inside track to the very heart of God. For all who live godly in Christ Jesus suffer persecution. And we know there's different dimensions of that, Lord. But these people, where we would say we have not resisted to the shedding of blood, they wouldn't say that. They have resisted to the shedding of their own blood in the hope of the gospel. So today we sanctify and separate John. We pray from this very church, from this body, that this man of God would be sent
Hallelujah.
Out with all that we represent. Lord, may all the collective spirit and wisdom of Almighty God that can be imparted to him flow to him. May the resources be there. May the words be there.
Hallelujah.
May there be the serendipities that happen on these journeys.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, not just the plans that are on the agenda where they're going
Hallelujah.
To this city or that, but the very heart of God that you will open
Hallelujah.
Doors to him. May this be a life-changing experience for him. May this be the open door of the future where he's going, Lord, not only in Cuba, but throughout the world.
Hallelujah.
Lord, some of us in this room are going to go with him in some of these places. I know. Some of us in this room, Lord, are going to carry a burden for him now that's different than we've ever carried before. So we anoint him. May he never feel alone.
Thank you, God.
Lord, as he goes to a Presbyterian church now, growing up in a Pentecostal church in Mexico, in a different country, and on the road a lot. And may he never be separated from the body. May
Thank
he always
God.
Know that even in that type of suffering that he goes through, the separation from his family at times and from friends, that you're more, yes. as he spoke the words today, you're more than able yes. to fill him with all spiritual blessing. Yes. So we do bless him. We bless Elizabeth. We
Thank
bless
you,
his
Lord.
Sons. We ask you, Lord, now to go before him, and we pray for your favor with Franklin Graham and the Billy Graham Association and all that he's putting his hand to in these days. And lastly, Lord, we say Cuba para Cristo.
Amen.
We say, Lord, that we don't understand the international dynamic, but we do pray for these 60-some years that the Northrops have been invested, actually since 1951, going to Cuba. They've seen it all, Lord. We pray that the gospel will explode
Thank you, Lord.
Even more. And we pray, Lord, that we will see even more of revival and growth and discipleship,
Hallelujah.
And that
Glory
nation... will not be the same nation before the revolution, but will be a nation that,
yes.
Lord, Almighty God will just move mightily, we pray.
Yes.
In your name, amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you.